Pasuk says in Vayera, before the Akedah, so the Pasuk says, Vayita Eshel Bever Shava, Vayikra Shom B'Shem Ad Hashem Kelor. Yeah. So apparently Avraham Avinu in Eretz Plishtim, which is in Be'er Sheva, so he changed his approach over there, because all the time before it says Vayikra Shom Hashem Hashem wherever he went, but that was in for instance, Vayav Avram Boretz, Ad Mekom Shchem, Ad Elon Mora, Vayivin Shem Zbech Lashem, Anir Elov. Vayatek Mishem Mahoro, Miken Lavez Vayet Olo, Vayivin Shem Zbech Lashem, Vayigra B'Shem Hashem. So all along, it always says Vayigra B'Shem Hashem. But over here, He changed his approach. Vayita, yeah. For instance, he lived in Chevron. Rashi explains that Vayita Eshel Bever Shova. Vayoga Avram Boretz Plishtim Yomim Rabim. So Rashi explains Merub Marshal Chevron. Essentially, Avram Avinu lived either in Chevron or in Be'er Sheva, about the same amount of years. 50 years. He's talking about 50 years of Avraham Avinu's life. But then he returned to Chevron before the Akedah. But in Chevron it was the same. Vayeshev Ve'elone Mamer Hashem B'Chevron Vayivin Shem Mizbeach Lad Hashem. So there was the same approach as he had all along in Chevron. But then he left Chevron. Rashi says he left Chevron because of the Maisa of Lot after Sdom, and then he went to Be'er Sheva, and in Be'er Sheva he changed his approach. That's Vayita Eshel Be'er Sheva Vayikra Shom B'Shem Ad Hashem Kel Olam, and there the lashna kosov is different. So Vayikra Shom B'Shem Hashem Kel Olam doesn't simply say Vayikra B'Shem Hashem. So apparently something new, there was something, some additional feature over here in his approach, Vayita Eshel Be'er Sheva, and approach, the way he dealt with the people, and also in the message. Because before it says Vayikra B'Shem Hashem, and here it says Vayikra B'Shem Hashem Kel Olam. Yeah, and I mentioned to you last time that the Rambam, in all his Svarim, he always begins with B'Shem Hashem Kel Olam. Okay. Yeah. So the B'Shem Hashem Kel Olam. Yeah, what I want to mention is like this, that the fact that the Rambam begins every Sefer with B'Shem Hashem Kel Olam is something that we could derive something from this idea. Because the Rambam says B'Shem Hashem Kel Olam, the Rambam says Namar Devuchim, that the Kel Olam is that he taught the idea of creatio ex nihilo, which means that there's yesh me'ayin, okay, which is what Yahadus maintains, and that the Rambam explains is based on the concept that time is a created entity. This was something which wasn't proven by physicists until Einstein. But this, the Rambam mentions, is one of the Yesod Hados, that time itself is created, because the Rambam explains that if time is not created, but time always exists, so then you're going to have to say that something exists eternally outside of God. But Yahadus maintains that time was created with the universe, and time is a variable of the universe. It cannot exist without the universe. And therefore, this was the idea that Avraham Avinu taught. And the Rambam maintains that even though the Rambam says in the Mori, he says that it's difficult to prove. The Kadmus HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or Aristotle's position, which was really the position of the scientists until recently, until this century, that that Olam Kemenhago Noheg means that there's no change, there never is any change in the universe. And even though Aristotle believed in God, but he also believed in the eternity of the universe. The universe is so to speak, I mean, like an emanation from God, but it coexists with him, and it never undergoes any change. But the Rambam maintains in the Mor Nevuchim that Avraham Avinu was able to prove or to demonstrate that this is not so. And this is really, the Rambam explains that this is a yesod in our dos, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so far removed from the material universe that it would be improper and correct, and it would be an evil to maintain that something exists, that the universe exists in a way that it's intrinsically related to God, that it always exists. That would be already bordering on Hakshomas Habore, that God is removed from all matter, and removed from all matter means that his existence is not tied, even by way of emanation, to anything material, which is the universe. So the Rambam explains by Yirkosham B'Shem Ad Hashem Kel Olam. That's what it means. Rambam explains in the Mor Nevuchim that Avraham Avinu taught the idea of Bria Shemayim V'Aretz, Bereishis Bo Elokim Es Hashemayim V'Es Haaretz, which means to say Yesh Me'ayin, and this idea was something which Avraham Avinu demonstrated to the people. But the Rambam, I mean, that's why, even though the Rambam and Mor Nevuchim, I mean, he says that it's something which he can't prove, but he maintained that there is a proof. Avraham Avinu taught the idea that we receive through Nevuah. Yesh Me'ayin. Yeah. Now it's interesting the fact that Avraham, so that's what Avraham was, Vikrasham B'Shem Ad Hashem Kel Olam, that's what it means, Vikrasham B'Shem Ad Hashem Kel Olam. But the B'Shem Ad Hashem Kel Olam in the Rambam is, we understand why he begins the Sefer Mor Nevuchim with B'Shem Ad Hashem Kel Olam, but why does he begin, for instance, Sefer HaMitzvos with B'Shem Ad Hashem Kel Olam, or why does he begin the Yad HaChazakah with B'Shem Ad Hashem Kel Olam? Shem Hashem Kel Olam is an important philosophical principle. The Rambam says it's the second most important philosophical principle. But the question is, I mean, fine, it's an important philosophical principle, so that's an appropriate pasuk for the Mor Nevuchim, because the Mor Nevuchim deals really with these points. I mean, the whole Mor Nevuchim revolves around the idea of Yedias Hashem and what our concept of Yedias Hashem is. So it's appropriate for the Mor Nevuchim. But why did the Rambam see fit to use this pasuk B'Shem Ad Hashem Kel Olam for Sefer HaMitzvahs, for instance, or for the Yad HaChazaka? I mean, most of the Yad HaChazaka and most of the Sefer HaMitzvahs doesn't have to do with philosophy. I mean, it has to do with halacha. I mean, there's a small portion in Sefer HaMitzvahs that deals with philosophy, but the bulk of the Sefer HaMitzvahs is Mitzvahs Hashem. I mean, is not the same thing. Mitzvahs Hashem is not the same thing as the philosophical principle of B'Shem Ad Hashem Kel Olam. I mean, the Rambam himself explains that in the Mora. The Rambam in the Mora says that the mitzvahs asay and the mitzvahs los asay, all mitzvahs asay and mitzvahs los asay, teach a person fear of God. And when a person engages in the mitzvahs, it teaches him the idea of fear of God. But the avas Hashem is only attained through machshava, through thought and understanding and knowledge. So the mitzvahs, I mean, is really a different thing. The mitzvahs really is to ensure the purpose of the mitzvahs is that an individual constantly is aware of Kadosh Baruch Hu's existence and of the fact that there's Chav Einesh. I mean, that's what mitzvahs generates in an individual, the realization of that reality, the reality of Kadosh Baruch Hu. But Avas Hashem, the Rambam explains, really revolves around the soul of man when it's engaged in its quest for knowledge and true ideas, and that is really Avas Hashem. But Yiras Hashem, in the sense that it's an awareness of God's existence, that's really mitzvos. And the Rambam of Yachazaka starts off with another pasuk, Oz Lo Evosh. So mitzvah is really a different thing. I mean, it's a different role. Mitzvah plays a different role. So why did the Rambam start off with B'Shem Ad Hashem Kel Olam? I mean, it's not appropriate. So mitzvah has a different role, a different function in mitzvah. So why this pasuk B'Shem Ad Hashem Kel Olam? So I think really this answers a question. The question is, the Rambam says that in Hilchos Malachim, so the Rambam says when he brings the halachas of Bnei Noach, so the Rambam says that a Ben Noach is not allowed to be Mosef, to add anything to the Torah. Okay, it says Ein Menichen Aso, Ein Menichen Aso, Ein Menichen Aso Lachadesh Davar Mitzvah. So what's the notion? Yeah, the Rambam says in Perek Yudalach Tess, he says Klalo Shel Davar Ein Menichen Aso Lachadesh Dos. Okay, Velasos Mitzvos LaAtzmon MiDaitan. Or to make mitzvahs, to create their own mitzvahs. And that's really the biggest problem of Bnei Noach. The biggest problem of Bnei Noach is that it's a very, very strong tendency in man to create religious experience, have religious experiences. So Bnei Noach really has a difficulty. He wants to create ceremonies and religious experiences. So that the Rambam says, you're not allowed to let him do that or to be mechadesh a mitzvah. But it's interesting. But the Rambam says before that he says al shisha dvarim nitzav adam rishon, and he lists them, and then he says then Noach came along ha'isvul Noach eva menachai shenemach bosu benafshu damal asachelo nimtzu sheva mitzvos. These are the seven mitzvos. Then he says v'chein hoya dava b'chol olam ad Avram. Bo Avram, then it's Stave Yeser Aleilu B'Mila. Okay. V'hu, then it says, V'hu is Paul Shakos. Okay. The Yitzchak Hifrish Meiser V'hosif Tfila Acheres Lefnos Hayom. The Yaakov Hosif Giranosha. This Paul Arvis. So it comes out that Giranosha, for instance, Giranosha was a mitzvah that Yaakov Avinu was Mosef, but Yaakov Avinu was really Ben Noach. So what right did Yaakov Avinu have to add a mitzvah when a Ben Noach is not allowed to add a mitzvah? And Chazal say that Rashi and Tosfos all explain that the Gemara Chum and Giranasha, that the Gemara says that the Gemara talks about Giranasha, if Giranasha is for Bnei Noach, so Rashi and Tosfos both say because they were Bnei Noach, they had the status of Bnei Noach. The Yavos had the status of Bnei Noach. So Giranasha was halacha for Ben Noach. So how could Yaakov Avinu, for instance, or Avraham Avinu, be misakin tefilas shachris? Okay, he received mitzvahs milas, fine, but how could misakin tefilas shachris? And how could Yitzchak misakin tefilas mincha and Yaakov misakin tefilas arvis and create a mitzvah of Giranasha? And Giranasha created an isra achila because the idea of vayeovek ish imo was something which wasn't apparently, which wasn't just an experience for Yaakov Avinu, but the Vayavak Yishimo really was something that had to do with the human struggle with the Yetzer Hara. So therefore he created a mitzvah of Gid Anasha in order that they shouldn't eat the Gid Anasha, and through not eating the Gid Anasha, they will bring to mind the idea of Vayavak Yishimo. So how could he be Moseph a mitzvah midaito? How could he do that? So the answer, I think, is through the Rambam's B'Shem Ad Hashem Kel Olam, you can understand the answer. So what the Rambam says is, why does the Rambam begin, say, from mitzvahs and Yada Chazaka with B'Shem Ad Hashem Kel Olam? Because what the Rambam is telling you is simply that these mitzvahs are the only mitzvahs that are structured in a way that through doing them, one has the proper idea of the Kel Olam. Okay? But any deviation in the mitzvahs, any time an individual wants to make a deviation or a change in the mitzvahs, it has to result in a change in his idea of the Kel Olam. In other words, the mitzvahs of the Torah are structured in a way that when a person, like the Rambam says, when he talks about Hilchos Geiros, that a person who's a chacham and who understands these mitzvahs properly, that an individual like that, if he does the mitzvahs properly, his asiyas mitzvahs are in line with the idea, with the metaphysical, the true metaphysical idea of the Shem Hashem Kel Olam. But any deviation in the mitzvahs, any deviation in religious practice, any kind of a change, or any kind of a reestablishment of emphasis on mitzvahs, any kind of choosing of mitzvahs, or changing the Mesorah of the Asiyas HaMitzvahs in any way whatsoever, will have to result in a metaphysical change in the person's, in a distortion in the person's idea of the Shem Ad Hashem Kel Olam. That's what Aram starts off. That's what Aram begins to say for mitzvahs, B'Shem Hashem Kel Olam. It means these mitzvahs and only these mitzvahs, you see, the practice of these mitzvahs are the only mitzvahs that are in line, that when an individual practices these mitzvahs the way the Torah intended him to practice them through Das and through Chochmah, that practice is in line with the Yedias Hashem of the Shem Ad Hashem Kel Olam. But any change, the moment you introduce a change in the mitzvahs, so you're going to introduce a change in the Shem Hashem Kel Olam, a distortion, a metaphysical distortion. It's an interesting principle.
Yeah, but you don't need to practice a specific practice. Mm-hmm. You don't necessarily need a specific practice. How you practice makes you mean philosophical outlook, how you apply it.
Any change in practice, any change whatsoever.
The continuum of halacha is a constant evolution. How's that possible?
No, that's not a change though, because that's according to the Mesorah. That's because the Mesorah established exactly how that change should take place. That's not a change. A change is where you create a deviation from the plan of Sinai. Any deviation from the plan of Sinai, which is the Sinai, of course, makes allowances for things that seem like changes. There may be takanas chachomim. I mean, the time of Maimon Har Sinai, there was no Purim. I mean, there was no Hanukkah. But Hanukkah and Purim is not a change, because Hanukkah and Purim is included in Sinai that the Chacham have a right to establish these mitzvahs. That's not a change. But a change in the system, a change in the emphasis of mitzvahs, which mitzvahs are more important, which mitzvahs are less important, or how you practice the mitzvahs, is a change in the Shem Hashem Kel Olam. That's why the Rambam began to say from mitzvahs with the Shem Hashem Kel Olam and the Yad HaChazaka with the Shem Hashem Kel Olam. That answers the question. Because the reason why the Ben Noach is not permitted to be mosif mitzvos midaito, why is he really osur in doing such a thing? Why is he prohibited? He has good intentions. But the answer is any kind of addition or any kind of mitzvah that he will create will be a deviation in the Shem Ad Hashem Kel Olam, and a Ben Noach is chayav in that also as much as everybody else. In the Diyas Hashem, the Ben Noach is just as much chayav because he's a Tzelem Elokim. He's a Tzelem Elokim. And that's a pasuk in many pesukim in the Neviim, but the pasuk in Tehillim, Shimuzos Kolam Lamatzeich Levnei Karach, Shimuzos Kolam Ima Azinu Kol Yeshvei Cholah Gam Bnei Yodim Gam Bnei Yish Yachad Ashi Ve'Evyon Kifi Yedah B'Chochmos Vagusli B'Sevunos is talking about Gam Bnei Yodim Gam Bnei Yish. So Chazal say Bnei Yodim is Bnei Avram Yitzchak Yaakov, and Bnei Yish is Noach, Shenikra Ish. So Bnei Noach and Bnei Adam are all chayiv in Chachmas and Tzvunas and understanding the Derech Hashem. It's an open pasuk in Tilum. But throughout the Nevi'im. He basically basically called Cholam and Yedias Hashem is for everyone. So in the purpose of the Shevin Mitzvahs Bnei Noach is really for Yedias Hashem. So if they machadesh dovar, if they add anything, if they follow their religious inclination to add, it has to result in a deviation from the Shem Ad Hashem Kel Olam. You'll ask me a question, you'll say, why can't there be a Ben Noach that is such a chacham, you see, that can create him. Let's let's go there. So, but Yaakov Avinu, for instance, by Yaakov Avinu, when Yaakov Avinu was misaking the mitzvah of Gid HaNoshe, so how could he do that? So the answer is because Yaakov Avinu was Alakei Avram, Alakei Yitzchak, Alakei Yaakov. So Yaakov Avinu had Yedias Hashem, and therefore his mitzvah was in line with the Shem Ad Hashem Kel Olam. So there's no problem. See, so there's no problem. So you'll ask me a question, if that's the case, so why can a particular Ben Noach, where does it say that a particular Ben Noach cannot rise to the level where he too can have Yedias Hashem, and he too can be Mesak and come up with a mitzvah which is in line with the Shem Hashem Kel Olam? So what's the answer to that? No, what is that? You can't say that prophecy, and if they were doing something wrong, Hashem would point it out, because then that would mean that it's possible Yaakovin would decide to make up a mitzvah and God will tell him, don't do that, it's wrong. That's not the way it doesn't work that way.
No,
Yaakovin would never do such a thing, because since it's a principle in the Doss, he couldn't be Yaakov Avinu and also make that mistake. So Yaakov Avinu was talking the mitzvah, so the mitzvah had to be Niskan. The mitzvah had to be, it was correct what he did.
But really the positive is because he had prophecy, he was on that level that it would have really,
In other words, like, because he had Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, and like the Mefarshim say, why does it say Yitzchak, Elokei Avram, Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov? Why does it say Elokei three times? Because each one had his own individual Yedias Hashem. Yaakov's Yedias Hashem wasn't based on the Masorah from Avram Avinu, and Yitzchak's Yedias Hashem was not based on the Masorah from Avram Avinu. It was based on their own investigation and their own personal knowledge. So, Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. So that's why it's not possible for them to be misaking a mitzvah, to create a mitzvah, which would be a deviation in the Shem Ad Hashem Kel Olam, which would result in a metaphysical distortion. But it's interesting, by the way, when the Rambam brings down, he says like this. He says, Bo Avram, he says, V'chein hoya dover b'chol olam ad Avram. Bo Avram, v'nitztava yeser al elu b'milo. V'hu is Paul Shachris. Apparently, he was misakein tefilas avos tiknum. He was misakein tefilas shachris. The Yitzchak hifrish meisa means he added himself. The hosif tefilah cheres lufnos hayom. He was mosif a mitzvah. The Yaakov hosif gid hanosha. The spawal arvis. Ube mitzrayim nitztava avram b'mitzvos yiseros. I'm sorry. Nitztava amram b'mitzvos yiseros ache b'moshe rabbeinu v'nishlema tara al yaday. You see, it's interesting. The only ones that added mitzvahs are who? Avram Yitzchak Yaakov. Because there were Kei Avram, or Kei Yitzchak, or Kei Yaakov. The mitzvahs that were added after them was Amram, or was Nitztava. He received additional mitzvahs. He wasn't Mechadish the mitzvah. The only ones that were Mechadish mitzvahs is Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Because their level of Yediyas Hashem was such that they were able to do it without creating any distortion. But if besides them, nobody else. And then the Rambam says, Ad she'bom Moshe Rabbeinu v'nishlem Torah al yado. What does it mean? What does it mean v'nishlem Torah al yado? That's correct. In other words, it means to say that Yaakov Avinu was able to divine the system, part of the system. And he was able, he had the knowledge of how to create a mitzvah that is in line with the metaphysical idea of B'Shem Hashem Kel Olam. He knew how to do it. Yaakov knew how to do it. But the Rambam says, why does the Rambam say Ache Bomar Shabed of Nishlam Atar Al Yado? What does he mean, the Nishlam Atar Al Yado? What does he mean? What was the question we just raised the question before? We said, why isn't it possible for a guy, where does it say, I mean, a Kadosh Baruch Hu created man and gave him a Tzalalokim? Does it say anywhere that there can't be a guy today that's as great as Avraham Avinu? Does it say, do we have a Masara like that? I mean, there's no Masara like that. So it's possible, the person's a Tzalalokim, it's possible that someone, a human being, is able to attain knowledge, and there's nowhere that says a Gzera, that the knowledge is limited. It doesn't say, only one case I know where it says that the knowledge is limited. Where's that? By Moshe Rabbeinu. Well, come the Navi Yod v'Yisrael to Moshe. Asher Yidor at Hashem, Ponim upon him. So that's a limitation. That means Moshe is the highest level, like the Ram says, of the Min Hanushis. That's it. And he was the limit of the human species, and no one will ever even reach that, even reach his level. But it doesn't say by Avram that... Adam Kavram Avinu doesn't say anything like that. So it's possible. So why isn't it possible why is there an Isser? How can you have a halachic Isser that no Ben Noach can add a mitzvah? Maybe someone will come and reach the level of Yaakov Avinu and he'll be misaken a mitzvah. What's the answer? That's exactly what the Rambam says. It's exactly what the Rambam says. Ache bo Moshe Rabbeinu v'nishlema Torah al yado. It means to say that there are a certain amount of mitzvahs for Adam that are possible, and that minyan ha-mitzvahs, there's just like mitzvahs is a qualitative idea, it's also a quantitative idea, and just like what does Chazal say. That Yaakov was misfollowed. Misha Omal Olam Dai Yoma Dai Letzarosai. It means that the matter of the universe is not just a qualitative phenomenon. It's a quantitative phenomenon. Misha Omal Olam Dai. That there's supposed to be a certain amount of matter in the universe, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu determined what precisely that amount of matter is, and that's why Yaakov used that as a mushroom. Misha Omal Olam Dai Yoma Dai Letzarosai. But the same thing is true, not just of the universe, but the same thing is true of mitzvahs. That's what Ron's saying. Ache bom Moshe Rabbeinu, v'nishlema Torah al yado. It means there's a certain amount of mitzvahs that are possible. Mitzvahs are also a quantitative phenomenon. So therefore, it is impossible. After the Torah was nishlamo, it's impossible for anyone, no matter how brilliant he is, and no matter how great a tzaddik and greater metaphysician the individual is, even if he should be as great a metaphysician as the others, which, as I said, it doesn't say anywhere that they can be. So, but even if that would happen, a halacha has to be for all times. A halacha can't just be. So the halacha is an intrinsic idea. So that's why it's impossible, basically, after nishlam. That's what the Rambam means. Nishlam atar al yado. It means that now it's not possible for anyone to come with any mitzvahs, because any mitzvah that he would come up with would have to be a mitzvah in the Tayag mitzvahs, and that we have already. So then Ben Noach has a right to do any one of the Tayag mitzvahs. I mean, there's no limitation, except for Shabbos, which is impossible for him, like the Rambam explains, because that would involve Baal Tesef, but also Talmud Torah in areas where it's not Nagayatim. But that's a separate kind of thing. But basically, so it's not possible. That's the answer, really. The answer is that Asiyas HaMitzvahs, that's why the Rambam began with B'Shem Ad Hashem Kel Olam, because Asiyas HaMitzvahs are intricately tied to the concept of the B'Shem Ad Hashem Kel Olam, and any change and any deviation in practice has to result in a metaphysical distortion. It's an interesting thing. Yeah?
Anything
that's not in the system that the person does has to result in a deviation from the Shem HaShem Kelala. The only thing I would say about Kabonis is that it wasn't set up as a mitzvah. For instance, the Rambam doesn't say Adam HaRishon, it doesn't include in Shev Mitzvah Adam HaRishon Hikrif Kabonis. Okay? He doesn't mention that. Why? Adam HaRishon was Makrif Kabonis. And the Avos Makrif Kabonis, because that wasn't a takana, it wasn't a chiddush mitzvah. You see, that's the mitzvahs were only those things which the Rambam mentions, but not Kabonis. When Avram Avinu, when it says Avram Avinu was mispal shachris, it means he was misakin as a mitzvah. Shachris was a mitzvah. Doesn't mean that it was just misfouled, because the Ram says that's what the Gemara says. Avos tikna, the Yos, it says v'hosif tefila v'yitzchok hifrish ma'ase v'hosif tefila acharis lefnosi. What do you mean hosif tefila acharis? He established it as a mitzvah. He established it as a mitzvah. By kabbonis, apparently a person has a right to bring kabbonis. It's a separate thing. It's a separate parasha, but it's not mitzvah. Kabbonis is a right that a person has to express the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Borei Olam and everything belongs to him. So that's apparently a right that he has to do through Kabbonis, but it's not a mitzvah. It's not established as a mitzvah. No wizard say that Adam Tikein Shehei Adam Makrif Kabbonis. There's not that kind of Kabbonis. Kabbonis not a mitzvah. That's what I'm saying. It would appear that kabbonis are different in the sense that a person has a right to be makriv a korban. A person has a right to say, like Kain and Hevel. A person has a right to express l'Hashem ha'aretz m'loa through taking something which is his and through being makriv it and demonstrating that everything belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A person has an inherent right to do such a thing. And that's why the pasuk says, by Kain and Hevel, by Yisha Hashem, El Hevel Vel Minchoso, Vel Kayin Vel Minchoso Lo Shah. Because Kayin was insincere, and Hevel Hevi Mibchorosono. But Kayin was made, he was brought from the inferior crops. So apparently a person has a right to express the Lad Hashem Ha'oratz Meloa through being Makriv a Karbon. That's not considered a Chiddush Das. That's not considered a Chiddush Das. But it was never considered a takana. It was never considered a takana. But that apparently a person has a right to do. I see, Ben Noach has a right to bring kabbonis too to the mikdash. So apparently the Yahada says that a person has a right to express the fact that Hashem Ha'aretz Meloa through taking from something that he owns, his own possessions, and giving of his possessions in order to demonstrate that Hashem Ha'aretz Meloa. That's not called a chiddush das. Should we? Yes. Absolutely. Not only are you allowed to have bummers, but you're allowed to teach them how to do it. Yeah, that's what the Rambam says. You're allowed to teach them how to do it. That is apparently an inherent right that a human being has, to demonstrate Hashem Ha'aretz Meloa through taking from his own possessions things that he really desires and has a love for, and simply being makrivit to demonstrate let Hashem aratzim alo. That's not a chiddush das. That's not a chiddush das. An inherent right that man has. That's what it means that Adam Rishon was makriv kavanos. But it wasn't misakin a mitzvah of carbon. It was never misakin a mitzvah of carbon. Otherwise the Rambam would have said, Adam Rishon tikain lavi kavanos. It's not a takana, but it's an inherent right a human being has. Of course, that right remains by Bnei Noach. That's what the Rambam says, that you're allowed to teach the Bnei Noach how to do it. But a Yisrael, once the Matan Torah came into existence, then a Jew is prohibited. There's a prohibition and a restriction on a Jew, and he's restricted to Migdash, but the Bnei Noach isn't. It's an interesting thing, because the Bnei Noach remains in the same state that he was before. But that is not considered a Chiddush Dabar. In other words, just because Avram Avinu was Misakein Shachris, so it doesn't mean because Avram Avinu was Misakein Shachris that has to be part of Tayyad. I mean, you're not saying Avram Avinu is only a human being, but it means that Avram Avinu's Takana of Shachris is not in any way that a person that's Mispal Shachris, the Takana of Shachris is not in any way a deviation from the Shem Ad Hashem Kelala. Okay, it's not in contradiction. On the contrary, it enhances the individual's relationship to the Shem and Hashem Kelala. Okay, but any other thing, any other mitzvah that a person is machadesh will be a deviation on the Shem and Hashem Kelala. And that's why you see, for instance, there were groups that came along and decided to make changes in mitzvahs, and they decided to emphasize certain mitzvahs and to de-emphasize other mitzvahs, and then what happened was, the next thing that happened was they started to say that they started to preach a certain kind of a transpantheism, where they say that God exists in everything. God exists in rocks, and God exists in objects, and therefore they developed a philosophy where if a person uses things, gashmi, physical things, that he's elevating the universe because these things are partake of God. I mean, that's total distortion. The Shem Hashem Kelol. Shem Hashem Kelol is exactly the opposite. It means that God is so removed from the physical universe that it would be an evil to say, like Aristotle maintained, that the universe coexisted with God, because that would tie God to the universe in a closer manner than in reality is true. And that would really be a type of Hakshamas, although it's a different type of Hakshamas Habare, where you're saying that something coexists with God, which is material. That would be, even though the Rambam says that's not a denial of the unity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it still is a type of Hakshamas Habore, and that's an evil, and that's what Avraham Avinu taught against. That's B'Shem Ad Hashem Kelolam, that God is completely, completely removed from the universe. That his existence is before the universe, and his existence is after the universe. And the universe is not something which is tied to God the way Aristotle thought the universe is tied to God. That's B'Shem Ad Hashem Kelolam. And that's why when groups came along and they decided to make changes in religious practice, it resulted in the change in the Shem Ad Hashem Kelolam, and a distortion of the idea of God, the metaphysical idea of God. That's the idea of B'Shem Hashem Kelolam. B'Shem Hashem Kelolam means that any time you have a distortion in terms of the practice, only these mitzvahs, the way these mitzvahs themselves and the way they're structured and the way they're to be performed are in line with the metaphysical idea of Shem Ad Hashem Kelolam. Any change or anything different is a distortion. It has to result in a metaphysical distortion. Is an institution. Karbanis is an institution that's sanctioned by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's sanctioned by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It wasn't invented by man, it's sanctioned by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A person has a right to do it. It's not a mitzvah, it's not a chiyuv, but he has a right to do it. Okay. So Rashi says like this. Rashi brings down the Chazal. Gemara and Sota. The Gemara says like this. Vayikra Sham al Yidei Oso Eshel. Rashi says Nikra Shmo Shel Hakadosh Baruch Hu Lakal L'Chol La'Olam. All right. So Rashi learns Vayikra Sham Hashem and Hashem Kelolam means al Yidei Oso Eshel. Nikra Shmo Shel Hakadosh Baruch Hu Lakal L'Chol La'Olam. You see. You see, there are two ideas in Vayikra Shem Hashem and Hashem Kel Olam. Two ideas. One idea is the metaphysical idea, the correct idea of God. Shem Hashem Kel Olam. That's the correct idea of God. Then there's something else, though. Vayikra Shem. Vayikra Shem means that Avraham Avinu's purpose was to bring this idea to the entire world. Okay? In other words, there's the idea itself, Shem Hashem Kel Olam, but then there's the concept Vayikra Shem B'Shem Hashem Kel Olam, which means that his objective and his purpose was that everyone should know this idea. Everyone should have his intellect should have a correct apprehension of this idea. Okay, so Rashi says. On that second theme in the pasuk, Al Yidei Oso Eshel Nikra Shmo Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lakal L'Chol Olam. So it's two things. That one is that his objective. So his objective was fulfilled. Vayikra Shem B'Shem Hashem Kel Olam means the true idea of God. But Vayikra Shem B'Shem Hashem Kel Olam means that there was a kriya, and through this kriya, the Shem Hashem was received by people. People, it wasn't just simply that Avram went to this place and he had the correct idea. It wasn't just that he had the correct idea. It was the correct idea that he had, and the Rambam explains in the Gemara, because he had the correct idea, he was imbued with the need to have others know this idea. Okay? So Vayikra Shem B'Shem Hashem Kel Olam is two things. It's the correct idea, and also the fact that Avraham Avinu had a need, his objective and his purpose was that this should be known to the entire world. So that's the Rashi. So how did it work? So an interesting thing. It says, La'achar she'ochlin v'shosin. After they ate and drank, because the machlekes amorayim, as to what it means by yita eshel. One holds that it means he planted a beautiful garden that had all different types of fruits and vegetables, and the other one says that he made a home over there. A place for people to stay. What's the significance of the machlokes? I don't know. I mean, they're both saying the same thing basically. Because they're saying one is the question is whether he made a place for them to stay over, or whether he just made a partis. I don't know. I don't know why there's a machlokes in this. I mean, what's the significance of this machlokes? It's a separate thing. But regardless, so it says that after they would eat and drink, he said like this. Omar Lahem. He brings down a chazal a little bit. A little clearer over here, the way he brings it. He says like this. Malamed shehikri Avram Avinu l'shmo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'fi kol over v'shav. Ketzad l'achar v'shach l'v'shasu omdu l'varcho. They got up and they wanted to thank him. Omar Lohem. So Avram Avinu said to them, v'chiv misheli achaltem. Yid from me v'lo mishelo elakei olam achaltem. Hodu v'shibchu u'varcho l'misha omar v'hoya olam. So they were omed mishabeach, and they gave hodor and bracha l'misham avayol to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the interesting thing is the Yashami says like the Yashami, Tirgum Yashami says similar. He says like this. He says, Unitziv Avram Pardes Bever Shava Va'askein Begava Machol U'mashke Vavo Ochlin V'shasyon Vavo Bayin L'mitin Le'tine Diacholu Ushisu. So they wanted to thank him for the fact that he gave them food. V'lotzove L'mekablo. He refused to accept the thanks. Minhon Vamva Omalon Avunan Avram Minmad Omar Vahava Alma Bememre Tslon Kodamavuchan de Vishmaya the Mindi Deachaltanush Sison. So the Tirgum Yashami says pretty much the same thing. Then he says Velohavo Zayon Minasrehon Adzman Dahava Megaya Yason. He says they wouldn't leave there until he'd be Megaya them. Umolach Yashon Orho de Alma the Odi the Tzali Tamon Avram B'Shem Emer Hashem Alakod de Alma. So he adds, he says that after the Achil and Sia, then he was Megaya them and he converted them actually and he made them followers of his philosophy of his ideas. Yeah. So apparently, it's a funny thing. I mean, from that one little thing, how does it work? I mean, just they wanted to thank him, and he said, no, don't thank me. So that was very nice. It's a nice idea, but it wouldn't seem that such an idea would give such tremendous results that the whole world, Vayikrashan Vam B'Shem Hashem Kelolam. So Rashi says it wasn't just the idea, but it was the fact that because of this Eshel, because of this new approach that Avraham Avinu took of the Eshel, so he was Mefarsim Shmo Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the entire world. I mean, so what was this little trick? I mean, that one idea. Yeah. So I want to say, so apparently there's something deeper in this approach over here of Avraham than meets the eye. There's something deeper over here. What exactly is it in this methodology, Avraham's methodology? I mean, what was he really doing over here? What was he teaching? How was he teaching it? Yeah. And what was this in this approach and the previous approach? The previous approach was apparently Vayikra B'Shem Hashem. What did he do? I mean, he taught. Shem Hashem means knowledge of God. So he taught knowledge of God wherever he went. Apparently, that didn't have such success. But this Eshel and Be'er Shava met with tremendous success. Over here, the whole world gained knowledge about God. Yeah. The approach, it seems to me, the approach is like this. That originally Avram taught the true idea of God, but the true idea of God is very good, it's very interesting, and I'm sure you have many people listening to his philosophy, and even adherents, but the method that he employed over here had much, much greater success. Why did it have greater success, and what was his method? His method was, interesting thing, his method was that he got the people, and see, he saw that if you just teach people, it's very nice, but you need, to teach people, you need an inquisitive mind on the other end, I mean, that's interested. A person has an inquisitive mind, that Salam Alekim, so he listens. But apparently that's not enough. The way to teach people is really to operate within their own, to catch them from their own premises. What was their own premises? See, everybody, every human being has a belief in ethics. Every human being has a belief in ethics. It lives by a certain ethic. A person can be an apikaris, but ethics, he has to have. So Avraham Avinu apparently took the ethical aspect of man, and what he showed was, he showed the person that your ethics is really baseless. Your ethics is baseless. In other words, like this. He said He said there's a lot of things in what he taught in this one Chazal. There's a lot of dimensions to it. But basically, Avraham Avinu's approach in Eshel was that he showed people logically. I just have to sort of like paraphrase what he did. What he did was he showed people logically that without God, there's no ethics. There's no idea of ethics without God. The idea of ethics without God is not logical. And therefore, if you don't have the correct idea of God, then your whole ethical system fails. That's what he said to them. Because he said, and that's what Chazal are showing with the Eshel. They're showing that he said to them, he said, in other words, apparently you believe that if someone feeds you, that you have an ethical responsibility to show that person appreciation. So, of course, what would most people say if you tell them that when they're in Mishan Royalon, most people would say, yeah, okay, yeah, but God knows, I don't have to do it. You see? That would be the response. To a human being, I have to show my appreciation, but for God, it's not necessary. What Avraham Avinu taught is that there's something beyond that. That if you're going to say that it's rational to express your appreciation, so you have to say, you must say that there is a rationale behind that concept. And you're not doing it, are you doing it simply because you want to ingratiate yourself to the person who was your benefactor? Or is there a rationale behind it? So Avraham Avinu showed that there's a rationale behind it. If there's a rationale behind it, so then even if it's Mishama Vahoya Olam who doesn't need your praise, even though he doesn't need your praise and even though he doesn't need your thanks, but still from your standpoint there is a rational demand that you must express the truth of the fact that you're a beneficiary of this achilasi, of this good. You see, that's basically what Avraham Avinu taught. In other words, Avraham Avinu taught that there is appreciation which is within human society. That's a certain level of appreciation, and that's necessary for Kiyum Olam, for there should be Shalom Ben Allah Chavera. But there, it's based on the fact that man perceives that there is an underlying intrinsic idea of justice that demands that you express your appreciation. So if justice demands that you act that way, it doesn't make any difference whether the recipient of your kind words is a being, like a human being who is happy to hear you say that, or whether it's Mishama Vayolam who has no need at all for your praise or for your appreciation, but justice demands that you as a human being express it, you see. That's what Avraham Avinu taught. He taught people that there is a justice, an objective justice, which is a justice just because it's real and not because it's social. He took the idea of chesed out of the realm of the social and he placed it in the realm of the absolute. You see? That's what it means. That's what he means. He says, V'chid mishali achalten mimisha oma v'hoya ha'olam achalten. How could you forget about the real source of the chesed that you have just been a beneficiary of? How could you negate such a thing? If you do, then you're saying that chesed and appreciation is only a social, is nothing more than a social phenomenon. That's all it is. But that would mean it's intrinsically baseless. So that would be impossible. So therefore, it's social, but it's based on what your mind perceives as an underlying justice. So therefore, it must exist in the realm of the absolute as well. In other words, what he taught them was, there's a hakar satov, which is a social phenomenon, and most people are restricted to that kind of hakar satov. But really, that's not logical. A logical person, an individual who in truth respects the idea of justice, has to recognize that there's an absolute akar satov. And the absolut HaKasatov means that the individual must be makir this. He must recognize this idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is his benefactor, his ultimate and truly his only benefactor. And therefore he must respond. He's obligated, because of his internal sense of justice, to recognize that. And the recognition has to be something which is mental, but it also must be verbalized, because the verbalization is really the actualization of the mental idea. And therefore, if he refuses to verbalize it, it means he refuses to give credence to that idea. So then, if that's the case, so then there's no real idea of justice. And if there's no real idea of justice, there's no reason to thank Avraham Avinu, because you really don't believe in it, and you're just saying something because maybe you think that another time you'll come by, you'll want me to treat you well. So it's fraudulent. So basically, what he showed them was that their idea of Hakaras HaTov in the social framework really has to lead to one conclusion, that there must be Hakaras HaTov, an absolute Hakaras HaTov, the Nishama V'Hoya Olam, and ultimately that is the real underlying Hakaras HaTov, because that is only God's existence is real, not man's, and everything that we partake of is really from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the only real source, the real benefactor is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But that's basically what Chazal is saying. That idea, that method, that methodology was more successful, you see, than his previous methodology. The previous methodology was the same methodology really where he started in Ur, which was he showed that the Ode of Avodah Zarah logic doesn't make any sense, and he showed what the true idea of God was, and the Yikrashon from Hashem Hashem. But the way he had ultimate success was to show that there cannot be any ethics without proper metaphysics. And that was where he achieved, through that method, Vayita Eshel, through that method he achieved tremendous success. It's interesting. I mean, Rashi gives you, So Rashi goes through the years. He says it's more than Chevron, because Chevron is there 25 years. Okay? And he started when he was 75. And then he says, and then he went over here. The Kansiv Yemen Rabbin Marum Al Rishonim, more than before, Lafarish. There's not something that's a Sisrei Torah. The Torah's trying to explain how long it was there. So therefore, when the Torah says Yamim Rabbim, a little more, it means a little more. It doesn't mean many more years. So it's 26 and 25. Then he says, Miyad Yatza Misham V'Chosar L'Chevron. V'Osa Shana Kodma L'Fnei Kedosa Shal Yitzchok Yud Beis Shan. Kach Shnuya B'Seid Olam. Okay. But the question is, what do you mean? What does it mean, Miyad Yatza Misham V'Chosar L'Chevron? I didn't see anybody explain this. I mean, what does it mean, Miyad Yatza Misham? He lived there for 26 years. Arechav Vav Shan. Miyad Yatza Misham V'Chosar L'Chevron. What's the Miyad? What do you mean, Miyad Yatza Misham V'Chosar L'Chevron? So apparently what Rashi means is that once he saw the success he had with his new approach, where he showed people that if they don't accept the correct idea of God, then their whole ethical system is undermined. When he saw he had success with that method, so then he went back to Chevron, because Chevron was really his first choice. You see, why did he go to Eretz Plishtim? Because he was running away after Lot. Because of Lot, Rashi says he had to leave because it was giving him a bad name. The whole incident of Lot was giving him a bad name. That's in line with something I one time wanted to explain, why Avram's relationship with Sodom, which the Torah really covered over. But it says that this supports that idea that he had a relationship with Sodom, and therefore he had to get out of there. He had to leave in order to protect his name. But then he went, the moment he saw that he was successful with his new method, you see, so then he returned to Chevron, which was really the place of his choice. That was his original place of choice, was really Chevron. And Eretz Plishtim was secondary, because he had no choice. Okay.
All right, we'll stop there.
Yeah. Hello?
Yeah, hi, Rebbe.
How you doing?
Okay.
All right, so I wanted to explain the Rambam last week. The Rambam and the end of the Rambam. Give me 1 second over here. Why the Rambam has such an enumeration? In other words, of the mitzvahs, where he says the mitzvahs started one by one, and he says Acha bo Moshe v'shlima Torah al yodo. I got this. Let me find it. Excuse me. The last Rambam. Rambam is in Hilchas Malachim, correct? The Rambam in Hilchas Malachim. Okay, oh, I got it, okay. Rambam in Hilchas Malachim. So the question is why the Rambam set up such a funny Seder like that. I mean, nobody does that. He's the only one that does it. That says the mitzvahs start with, Adam Arishon, and then he goes on. It's not in the beginning, it's in Perek, excuse me, it's in Perek Tes. Okay, the chain haya davar b'chol olam ad Avram ba Avram and estavi yes alelu b'milo, and then he goes on ad sheba Moshe Rabbeinu v'nishma tera al yada. So what I said was that the reason why the Rambam does that is because the Rambam holds the Rambam. We mentioned the fact that the Rambam begins all his form with b'shem Hashem kel olam, and so the question was why. Why should that be so by Sifrei Halacha? Like, for instance, the Sefer HaMitzvahs and the Yad HaChazakah. So the answer that I gave was that these mitzvos that we do are the only mitzvos that you can do with that are in conformity with the idea of the Shem Hashem Kel Olam. And the Shem Hashem Kel Olam. And that's why we answer the question of why Yaakov Avinu was able to mechadash a mitzvah, even though the halacha of Ben Noach is not allowed to be mechadash a mitzvah. So how could the Rambam say that Avram Avinu was mechadash a mitzvah and Yaakov Avinu was mechadash a mitzvah? So I said the answer is because the issur of chiddush das is because a person is not permitted to do something that will distort the Shem Hashem Kel Olam. And by Avram and by Yaakov, that was not a problem, because they had true ideas Hashem, Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, that they had the true idea of the Shem Hashem of Kel Olam. So therefore, the mitzvah that they constructed was completely in line with the concept of Shem Hashem Kel Olam. Now, it's interesting that it comes out that according to the Rambam, what Avram Avinu started, by Yikra Shom Avram B'Shem Hashem Kel Olam, what he started was really something that the Torah was mashlim, you see. In other words, by Yikra Shom Avram B'Shem Hashem, Avram, Chazal say, Avram was makri shmo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'fi kol bria. So really, that was the work of Avram. It was really nishlam through the Torah, the work that he began. There is no difference in terms of the quality of the approach of the Torah, in terms of the objective of the Torah, is that the Shem Shemayim should be Nikra, Bechol B'Sikol Beria. That work really was started with Avram, Vayikra Shem Avram B'Shem Hashem Kel Olam, and the Torah really does nothing more than enhance the work of Avram Avinu. It's an interesting thing. That's why I think the Rambam says, "Achebo Moshe v'nishlema Torah al yado," because all the mitzvahs of the Torah, as I said, are in line, are constructed in a way that they are in line with, and they bring the person to the proper Yedias Hashem, the proper understanding of the idea of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shem Hashem, that means the idea of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kel Olam, the creator of the universe. So all the mitzvahs are structured to bring a person to that idea. And the one that really began that work was Avram Avinu. And we mentioned also that that anyone that comes along to these mitzvahs and makes any kind of changes, even if it's a change in emphasis, you see, or if it's any kind of change, is not only making a change in the mitzvahs, but they're making a change in terms of the metaphysics of Avraham Avinu, which is the true Yedias Hashem, Shem Hashem Kelol. And it's an interesting thing, but you see, as I mentioned, there are certain groups that introduce changes. And these groups, they disliked certain mitzvahs, or certain properties of certain mitzvahs. And when you study them, you see that they started to change the... eventually, they found necessary to change the idea, the metaphysics of Yahadus. And one of the things, very interesting thing, is that you see that the tfilos avos tiknum, which means that it says Avram Avinu was sakin shachris, Yitzchok Avinu was sakin mincha, and Yaakov Avinu was sakin marav, which means that they were misakin Zman and Tzila. So Zman and Tzila, the idea of Zman and Tzila is something which goes back to the Avos. And therefore, you see that groups that dislike the idea of Zman and Tzila, it's not simply the Zman and Tzila, the halachic accident of Zman that they dislike. But the fact that they cannot tolerate the idea of Zman and Tzila is because they cannot tolerate the true idea of Shem Hashem Kelolam. There's a distortion in the metaphysical perception. So getting back to the Rambam, so that's basically why the Rambam says Achebo Moshe Rabbeinu v'nishlemo Torah al yado. Why did the Rambam just simply say there are two systems? There's a system of Bnei Noach, and then there's a system of Tayag of Sinai. What does Rambam have to kind of like unify the whole thing and say it starts with the Adam Rishon, and then it works its way up till you know. Why do you have to? What is this development? I mean, everybody learns plain that there's simply two systems: there's a system of Shev Mitzvei Noach, and then there's a system of Tayag Sinai. But the answer is because the Rambam. That's why for the same reason that the Rambam begins with B'Shem Hashem Kelolam, for the same reason, because Avram Avinu started the work. As a matter of fact, that's why if you look at the Lashon of the Rambam by Avram Avinu, he says in Hilchos Avodah Zarah. So when the Rambam comes to Avram Avinu, he says, "Al derech zehoy olam holachem itzgago achen nolad amudo shel olam v'hu Avram Avinu kivan shenigmo eson zeh." And then he goes through, So Avraham Avinu was really Amudo Shalolam, because he was the one that started the correct approach. And therefore, in one sense, the Torah really, in terms of his work, his work in the world, the Torah simply mashlim his work. It's an amazing statement from the Rambam. But that's where the Rambam begins every Sefer, whether it's Sefer HaMitzvahs or whether it's Yad HaChazakah, is he begins with Hashem et Hashem Kel Olam, because basically the Torah, that's what he's saying over here, the mitzvahs of the Torah are simply mashlim the work of Avram Avinu, of Hashem et Hashem Kel Olam, the metaphysical knowledge of Avram. And all the mitzvahs are structured in a way that they fit and line properly with the metaphysical true idea of God, and they lead one towards that idea. And that's why that's really the Rambam statement of B'Shem Hashem Kelolam. It's a whole it's the Rambam's idea. I mean, it's a whole revolutionary philosophy, the Rambam's idea. It's a very, very interesting concept. It's a unique concept, unique idea. But basically, it's an idea which is borne out by Torah Shebichtav, by Ikra Shavram Hashem, Hashem Kel Olam. As a matter of fact, the Michazal say that Avram V was the first one that called the Kodesh Baruch Hu Adni, which means they had an idea of God, but the aspect of Adni wasn't really developed from Avram Avinu. So, that's Kol HaTorah Kula is Adni. We'll get back to that in a moment, what exactly that means. But that's the Rambam's idea. Now, I just want to mention one thing, that there's a question, and I was listening to somebody gave me a tape from the Rav, and say, if I miss it, listen to the tape. And the Rav mentions the idea that speaks about the idea, similar to what we spoke about last week. That's why I mentioned last week. I said that you can't. Why can't you have a goy that has such chachma? It doesn't say anywhere in the Torah that lo yokum ba'olam kavram hod. It doesn't say that. On the contrary, it would be very nice if we were possible, we'd have another person like Avraham Avinu. But so why can't there be anyone that's most upon the mitzvot? And the answer is because the mitzvot's tayag is an entity. And it's a schum, an entity, she'olov ein lahosif mimenu ein lagroa. That it's a fixed entity, and it's God's chokhmah, and you can't, there's no way for a person to add or to subtract. Yeah, it's an interesting thing. We say in Parshas Tzitzis. So why do you say Parshas Tzitzis again? So you say Parshas Tzitzis again because it has Yetzias Mitzrayim, correct? And it has also Kol HaMitzvos. Yeah, the Rambam says. The Rambam says, and excuse me just a second. Where's the Rambam? The Rambam is in, Krishna. Okay. So the Rambam says like this. He says, Umahu kore perak al vachabe. Shlosha parshios elu. Shema vayim shema vayoma. Umagdim lukas parsha shema neshiesh bo yichrashim vavosu lesamudo. Shehu ha'ikur ha'gadol shekol toliba. V'achareha v'ayim shemoyah sheyesh bo she'or kol ha'mitzvot. V'achakach pasha sitzis. Shegam hi yesh bo tzivui zechiris kol ha'mitzvot. Okay, so why do you have to have... What kind of a reason is that? I mean, he says... You have already v'ayim shemoyah pasha mitzvot. So why does the Rambam say that you have to say pasha sitzis sheyesh bo tzivui zechiris kol ha'mitzvot? I mean, you have the mitzvahs, kol mitzvahs in volume Shema. That's kol mitzvahs. Doesn't mean mitzvahs on mitzvahs. So what's the reason for the repetition? I mean, you can't say everywhere the Torah is going to mention the mitzvahs. There's many places that you're going to include all the places that mention the mitzvahs. So I think the answer is like this. The answer is that in Parsha Sitzis is Yetzias Mitzrayim. But the Yetzias Mitzrayim, Risen Los Chartam, is called Mitzvah Sar Hashem, Nir Hashem Lekechem Asher Tzeisi Eskham Me'eret Mitzrayim, Liyes Lachem Lelekim, is a halacha in the Krisas Bris between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Ummah. Okay? In other words, Taryag mitzvos is a krisas bris, and that's the entity of Taryag. What is really the entity of Taryag? The entity of Taryag is that's why you have the number, fixed number, Taryag. Or even according to Ramban, according to others, that Ramban ultimately holds that it's true that there is a Taryag. But all right, question with everybody helping it. But the entity. And the entity to me is not so much the number, but the idea that there's an entity of mitzvos which function as a krisos bris. Okay? So mitzvos Hashem really come under two frameworks. That's this one framework is really that each mitzvah is constructed in a way that it is in line with the metaphysical idea of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and leads one to the to the metaphysical discovery of the true idea of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's one thing. And the second thing is that the mitzvahs are also an entity of krisas bris between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. And that's why I think you have V'hoyam Shemoa and Parsha Sittis. Because V'hoyam Shemoa is really, you see, V'hoyam Shemoa is what the Rambam is saying in Hilchas Melachim Perek Tes, which is basically that the work of Avram Avinu, the metaphysical work of B'Shem, Vayikra Shem Avram B'Shem Hashem Kel Olam, began with the Amudo Shel Olam Avram Avinu, and that the Torah was mashlim his work. The Torah, Kadosh Baruch Hu, with the Torah, with the mitzvahs, was really took the work of Avram and perfected it. So there, every mitzvah that you do leads to the Yedias Hashem, the Shem Hashem Kel Olam. That's one concept, one framework of mitzvahs. And that's what the Rambam is talking about, where he says it began with Adam HaRishon, and then it continued through the Avos, and then Amram received certain mitzvahs, and then also with Achabam Osheva Nishlamo Torah Al Yado. You see? So Nishlamo Torah Al Yado means that it's all one path. It's all one path, but there was it developed and reached its culmination, its ultimate fulfillment, ultimate state, in Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay? That really is mitzvos b'toras yediyas Hashem, and when we say yediyas Hashem, what do we mean? We mean avas Hashem. Because the Rambam says, the avo, he says, al pi ha-deyo tiyeho avo, in ma'at vim harbe. And the Rambam, the Mode of Uchum, expresses it even more clearly. He says, you know very well that yediyas Hashem and avas Hashem is the same thing. There's no difference, because it's the idea of the true idea of HaKadosh Baruch Hu which enraptures the personality, and it's a natural process. It's not a process where he has to work on his emotions, but that idea, it's automatic. So Yedias Hashem and Avas Hashem is really one. So if you take a look at Parsha V'Hoyom Shemoa Tishmo Mitzvosai Asher Anochi Mitzav Eschem Hayom Liavo Asad Hashem Alakechem Ula Avdoi B'chol Levadchem V'chol Nafshechem. That's mitzvos under the framework of Avas Hashem and Yedias Hashem. You see, and that's why you have Vayom Shema, because really it starts off with Shema, which is Yichud Hashem. What is the Rambam's lashon? Yichudo, and then he says Yichud Hashem, Avoso, and Talmudo, Shehu Ha'ikir Ha'godol, Shakol Tolibo. Okay, so in other words, that's the Avas Hashem is totally, of course, in Limud, in Talmud. Shehu Ha'ikir Ha'godol, Shakol Tolibo. It means, because, like we said, because Yedias Hashem is the whole thing. The Avas Hashem is all totally in Yedias Hashem. And then it goes on, then it develops very naturally to the other mitzvahs. Lacharel v'yam shemoa, sheyesh bo tzivriyol sh'or kol ha-mitzvahs. All the other mitzvahs. Which means that the mitzvahs are done under the framework of Avas Hashem. That's one framework of mitzvahs. And that's what the Rambam is saying. That's the framework of mitzvahs that began with Adam HaRishon. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't permit Adam HaRishon to be without mitzvahs, so therefore there were mitzvahs that were created for him. And those mitzvahs actually brought him, helped him in terms of the metaphysical Shem Hashem Kel Olam. And that developed through the Avos, and it was Nishnam Al Yedei Moshe Rabbeinu. There the mitzvahs are vehicles of Avas Hashem and Yedias Hashem. And that's really B'Shem Hashem Kel Olam. Okay? That's one thing. But then in Parshas Vayomer, you have Yetzias Mitzrayim. So over there, near Hashem Lakechem, Asher Tzeisi Eschem Me'eretz Mitzrayim Liyos Lachem Lakim, is really Yitzchatem as Kol Mitzvah Sad Hashem. Reason says Yitzchatem as Kol Mitzvah Sad Hashem. That's mitzvos b'toras krisos bris. Now these entities which God created as vehicles of reaching the ultimate metaphysical knowledge of Shem Hashem, of the Shem Hashem Kel Olam, so now they were used as an entity of krisos bris between God and a specific nation, Klal Yisrael. And that's really Parshas Tzitzis. That's why the Rambam says, it's interesting. See, he starts off like this. He says, very much in line with the Rambam in the way he does in Per Tessin and Hilchas Malachim, and with the Rambam is always starting off with Hashem Hashem Kel Olam. It says, "Mitnei sheyesh bo yichud Hashem va'avoso v'talmudo shehu ha'ikar gov shakol talibo va'achareho v'hoye imshemoha sheyesh bo tzivui al sheor kol ha'mitzvah." So you see, over there he's speaking about the other mitzvahs, meaning the ones besides besides the ones in the first parsha, Yichud Hashem, Avoso, and Talmudo. Okay? So then the other mitzvahs, they're secondary, because these are the primary, the Shema is the primary mitzvahs, which lead in the greatest manner possible to the Yedias Hashem. And then She'or Kol HaMitzvahs, because they too are all vehicles of Avas Hashem. Avas Hashem, Olakechem, Olavdo, B'chol Avav, B'chol Hashem, all the other mitzvahs. And then he has, V'achkach Parsha Sittis, She'gami Yesh Bo Tzivui Zechiras Kol HaMitzvahs. You see, there you have Kol HaMitzvahs. Kol HaMitzvahs is Anir Hashem, Olakechem, Asher Tzeis Yeschem, Eretz Mitzrayim. That's the bris of Sinai, because Sinai is a bris. And that's a krisos bris on all of Tayag. On all of Tayag. So the Rambam, when the Rambam is talking about the mitzvahs in the framework of krisos bris, you see, that's one entity. That's an entity of Tayag mitzvahs, Nemar L'Moshe Misina. But when the Rambam is talking about the mitzvahs under the framework of vehicles of perfection, of Avas Hashem, of Yedias Hashem, of Ayikra Shem Avram B'Shem Ar Hashem Kel Olam, then it is a developmental individual process. Each mitzvah is constructed in a way, as I mentioned, that any deviation from the structure or even the emphasis of a mitzvah, or a detail of a mitzvah, a characteristic of the mitzvah, any change whatsoever is of necessity a change in the Shem Hashem Kel Olam. And in that framework, that's the framework of the Rambam in Perek Tes Mehilchas Malachim, because over there he's talking about the mitzvahs for the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Nayach, and not only the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Nayach, but the Rambam talks about the fact that a Ben Nayach has a right to do any mitzvahs Hashem. Any mitzvahs Hashem. Why does a Ben Nayach have a right to do any mitzvahs Hashem? He's not included in Sinai, in the Bris of Sinai, so what right does he have to do it? Why isn't he considered a Moisef on his mitzvahs? The answer is because the mitzvahs come under two frameworks. One framework is the framework of bris, krisos bris of tayag, parshas vayomer, near the shemal kechem, asher tzeis yeschem eretz Mitzrayim. That's only us he took out of eretz Mitzrayim. He didn't take out any other nation from eretz Mitzrayim. That's krisos bris with Klal Yisrael. But the other framework is the framework of the framework of mitzvahs as individual entities, which lead a person to Yedias Hashem, and that every person has a right to. Ben Nayach also. To use the mitzvahs as the vehicles of perfection, of Yedias Hashem, because that's a pasuk. Vayikra Shem Avram, B'Shem Ad Hashem Kel Olam. So every human being has a right to those mitzvahs. That's Shemizos Kol Amin, Mazinu Kol Yosh Ve'Chole, Gam B'nei Adam, Gam B'nei Ish, Ki Pi Yedah B'Chochmos, V'Agos Libi Savunos. When it comes to Chochmah and Tevuna and Derech HaChayim, so that's Gam B'nei Adam, Gam B'nei Ish. That's whether you're B'nei Adam, Ben Avram Avinu, or B'nei Ish, B'nei Nayach, same thing. Every human being has a right. So that's why the Rambam over here in Hilchas Malachim in Perek Tes, where he's dealing with the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach, and the not only the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach, Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach are mandatory, but the option that a B'nai Noach has in terms of fulfilling the Mitzvahs Hashem, so over there he speaks about the fact that each mitzvah is really just has its own role, is just another entity on the path that Avram Avinu really began, the Amudo Shel Olam, which is a Yikra Shem Avram B'Shem Ad Hashem Kel Olam. Okay. Any questions?
Yes, Rebbe, then how come a B'nai Noach can't keep Shabbos? That one.
I explained that in a shir. That would be considered most of all a mitzvah, because Shabbos is something which is dependent upon a meta halachic reality, which is that the yom is endowed with kedusha, and that's only for a Jew. That's what Chazal say, that Kadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, Matana Tova Yeshli Beveis Ginozai VeShabbos Shema. That means to say that you can't keep Shabbos unless there's a meta-halachic reality of Shabbos. And that meta-halachic reality has to be given by God. So God created the meta-halachic reality of Shabbos, because Shabbos you do nothing, basically. Shmir Shabbos is do nothing. So where's the Shmir Shabbos? It's abstention. So the answer is the abstention is an abstention because the day has a certain meta-halachic reality of Shvisa. So that's a different kind of a mitzvah. That's a mitzvah which only a Jew can keep, because only he was given that matana. But other mitzvahs which have to do with physical ma'asim, that's different. That's a guy could do. That a guy could do. He could do. He could pick up a lulav. He could do a lulav. He could do all the mitzvahs. But Shabbos he can't do, because Shabbos is abstention, and the abstention is contingent upon the meta halachic reality. So Kedusha, he had to endow that day with a meta-halachic reality. And that meta-halachic reality was created Sheishis Mei Bereishis, but it was Beveiz Genoza of Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, was hidden, kept as a treasure, and was only given to Moshe Rabbeinu to give to Klal Yisrael. That's Yisnach Meshav Matnas Kokai. So that was a separate matana. That's why if a guy keeps Shabbos, so he's being Mosef Ala Mitzvahs, because that entity doesn't exist then. So it comes out he's doing an action which is baseless, and which would be a Chiddush Dover. That's why the Rambam, when it comes to Shabbos, the Rambam Bayechus Benoch, it classifies the Isser on the Chiddush Dover.
Rebbe?
Yes.
Rebbe? It seems like in Toldos that Yitzchak went back to just saying Leifer B'Shem Hashem. In Parashat Vav, Pasuk A?
Yeah.
When he puts up in the bath, he just says Leifer B'Shem Hashem.
Yeah, well, it doesn't have to say. The Torah doesn't always say. As the Ramban points out, the Torah doesn't always say the same. I mean, it says by Avram Avinu also the Ikra Hashem Hashem. Also the Ikra Hashem Hashem. The Ikra Hashem Hashem, of course, means everything. But the reason why the Rambam used B'Shem Hashem Kel Olam is not that Avram Avinu had two different Ikra B'Shem Hashem. What, the first B'Shem Hashem wasn't the Kel Olam? No, that's not what it means. It means because he's basing it on the Pasuk. That's why I said last week, he's basing it on the pasuk of Vayita Eishel Bever Shova, Vayikra Shem Avram B'Shem Arishem Kel Olam. You understand? So over there the Torah elaborates. Vayikra Shem Avram B'Shem Arishem Kel Olam, and the elaboration is because, as I mentioned last week, he started a new approach. And the new approach brought him new success. And the new approach, as I mentioned last week, was that he showed people a contradiction from their own system. namely that the that everybody agree, everybody believes in ethics. And I mentioned, I told you today that really happens to be, it's an amazing thing, but happens to be one of the biggest issues today that is discussed on the today's philosophers on the campus and writers, namely ethics without God. They try to find a way of such a thing as possible, but it's logically impossible. Their own one of the biggest philosophers raised the most powerful question. That question is whatever a person does, ultimately he's going to do it for himself. Because you're going to tell me he wants to be ethical, so he wants to do it so he should feel happy about himself. And there's no way out of it, basically. There's no logical way that you could have ethics without the metaphysical idea of God. People try to do that today because they're struggling to create a system, because it comes out that if a person is an evolutionist, so then there's no way that he can explain why it should be any different if he kills a monkey or if he kills a man. There's absolutely no way. So it comes out that there's no difference, and everything that an evolutionist has to maintain that there's no system of ethics, and therefore there's no difference whether if he kills somebody, it's just maybe on the contrary, he didn't remove an endangered species. It'll be even better. So the idea, there is no, everyone that is basically a kofer, an evolutionist that is a kofer, you know, not every person that recognizes the system of evolution as a kofer. I mean, Chazal also said it was evolutionary change. But the evolutionist that is a kofer is really at a loss, cannot explain, he has no way to legitimize ethics. There's no way that he could do it. And basically, that was Vayita Eshel Bever Shala. And that's what Chazal said. That Avraham Avinu said, you want to thank me? So as soon as he got them to that point, so then he said, so then you admit there's such a thing as justice, and you admit that you owe me a thanks. And you're saying that's an underlying reality. Well, once you say that, then you're going to have to say that there is a God. And he showed that you owe a thanks to God, and therefore, the Torah shows you basically, I mean, the concept of Yahadus is just the opposite of the entire world. And that is that the world tries to go... In other words, like this, the world's idea is essentially ethics, and then they try to from there they try to go to God. But Yahadus feels the opposite way, that the main idea, the whole idea, the essential idea is Vayikra Shem from B'Shem Ad Hashem Kel Olam. The idea is God is really the underlying reality of everything, and all Chesed is based upon God. That's really the whole concept of Mahu Afato. What is Mahu Afato? Mahu Afato means Mahu Nikra Rachum Afatoye Rachum. Mahu Nikra Chanan Afatoye Chanan. It means, why should I be nice? Why should I be kind? Why should I be good to another human being? Why? The reason is because God is good to God is a Baal Chesed. So our whole religion is exactly the opposite of the world. And that's what Vishnu from Hashem Hashem Kelon, that Avraham Avinu showed them that they're in contradiction. That once they recognize the idea of justice, so then, and the idea that a human being owes another human being something, so it must be based upon Kel Olam. It means, because there's a Kel Olam that created a system, and every individual has a place in that system. And therefore, any time you transcend the bounds of the given order, which God created, it's a violation.